Today's daf is daf Lamed Gimel, and we'll continue where we left off. Remember, we were discussing the case where there was a dispute regarding a. Firstly, we said that there was an agreement regarding the loan, but the picadon, the collateral, the guarantee of this loan was lost, and there was a dispute regarding the value of it. And in certain, the way it was termed dependent on whether it was considered mortar b'mikzar or not. Again, if it was like because it could be depending on if it was worth more or less than the value of the loan, it could be that either more is still, or let's say the lender now is chayv to pay the borrower because it was in excess of it, or the other way around, meaning that there's still money to be paid. And we discussed that in terms of when it can be considered kofer bakol or b'nei mikzah based on the differentials. Okay. Now, the last, at the very end of the Mishnah, it says, mi nishba, who makes, mihu hanishba, who makes a shvua, and it says, misha pikadon etzlo. The way I explained it when I left the Mishnah, the question was, who makes a shvua first? That's based on the Bavli, it's based on the Mefarshim Mishnah, but it doesn't seem to be that's the way the Yerushalmi understands it. And what the Yerushalmi is doing here is he's explaining the rationale of the, really, the second case, the seif of the Reisha. And that is, in a situation where we said, we'll just go through the case again. Sela viticha alav v'shekel hayashaveh. That's where the Malva says, I lent you a sela, and this was only worth a shekel, so you still owe me a shekel's worth. Balamer lo, and the Lover says, no, ela sela viticha. Yes, it was, the loan was a sela. However, it was shlosha dinarim hayashaveh. So I don't owe you a full shekel, I only owe you a dinar, because the two darim and a shekel. So that was considered a modem mikzah. So now this is what the Gemara now addresses that particular case. It says Shmuel Amar she'ein shvua zaza mibnehem, meaning the shvua never zaza mibnehem means now we have to deal with the fact that there's a shvua here. Who makes the shvua? And this is the quandary. This is the dilemma. It says imi shava hamalve, if the malve is going to make the shvua, harezin nishbav notel. He's making shvua in order to extract funds, and you never have that. Whatever mikzah is to exempt yourself. Vimi shava halove, but if the lover makes a shvua. As a classic modern mix-up, this is all I owe you, and that's enough to pay you anymore. Hello at hello to pick I pick sorry hello to pick again. What he's gonna, if you like, he might present the picadon, and the issue is that the lawyer says, oh, it was only the picadon was only worth also it was worth more. It was worth, like we said, three, what was it, dinarim? Get the last one right. Shlosha shekel was it? Yeah, shlosha dinarim, got it right. So it was worth shlosha dinarim, and the malva says, "Ah, you if you think it's 3 dinarim, look at it," and he'll suddenly pull it out, present this mashkon that he claimed was lost. He says, "This is nowhere it's worth 3 dinarim," and he end up making a shvua for nothing. So because of that, now we explained it based on the rishonim that what would happen is first the malva would have to make a shvua to say, "Look, I don't have my possession," and then the malva would make this shvua modem mikzah to say that that's all he's chayiv, not chayiv anymore. However, that's not what the Gemara does here. He says, "So miu nishba, what do we do? Misha pikadon etzlo to make it clear that Pnei Moshe says miu nishba kolamo il va'amar tatikala meichach. Since we've got a concern that if we make the lover make the shvua." And the Malva could then suddenly trace it by saying, you're lying, because he and you know, pulls the rabbit out of the hat and presents the mashkon. Hilkach shaklua Rabbanan. The Rabbanan took the shvua mina lover. Despite the fact the lover should have made the shvua to exempt himself, v'shadua, mean they gave it to the Malva, v'yishavah, and he makes a shvua now to take it. So, in other words, the shvua as a result is not going to be a classic modem mikzah case because of the concern. It's transferred, as we'll see in the next mission, talking about other shvuot that are transferred. It's transferred to the malva that if he wants the rest of his money that his claim he's owed over and above what the lover says, he now makes a shvuah and he can collect it. Okay? Again, different take to the way learned to the you might familiar when you are familiar with him the Mishnahs. That's what it seems to be here. And that's what's saying Rav Reish Lakish Amri Areisha, meaning the safer of the Reish, like we said, Hil Vitani Allah Vishtaim Yashaveh, Upatur. Meaning that's the Reisha, but the safer of the Reisha that continues talking about the case of Bodhi Mitzvah, like I explained. Now, next case. Selel Vitani. Can you let me sell that and Allah? Now, Vahala Omer Ein Yodea. What happens though if he says, look, I don't know? Okay? The Korban, the Pnei Moshe says, "Ma'od im ha lo ve'omer selel vitani alav v'shtayim me'ashaveh." Right, it was worth two, so therefore you owe me money. And the Malbus says, look, Amy Adia, you're terribly marshal of Ithalam. I don't know if it was much worth much more, if you like, than I lent you. So this is going back again, if you like, in the Sefer, where the claim is that the deposit was worth more than the loan, and now the Malbus has to pay the loan. Okay? But rather than saying a dispute saying, oh, it was equal to, and he says, no, it was worth more, and that's like, do we see this is a coffer of a call, or he says it was a bit more than it with the definite response, and then we say, okay, it's more to mix up the Malbus has to make a shvua. He was saying, what happens if the Malbus says, look, I just simply do not know? So we say here, Rabba, Rav Huna b'shem Rav, he says, Ant leit yada, ahen yada. Meaning, you don't know, he knows. So therefore, it seems to be, if you like, a case of Bari v'shema. He knows, you don't know, so therefore you have to pay. But the Gemara immediately doesn't like that. He says, one second. Rav Yeshua dromaya bayi kamei Rav Huna, taman, meaning in our case, b'mashkonat tamar, leit at yada, ahen yada. You say in this situation, because again, the lover knows, you don't know, therefore you just pay up. However, the core you find a straight halva'ah in a situation of any odeya that says v'ka'at ha'machi, meaning there in the case of halva'ah, we don't say bari v'shema bari adif. We don't say if the person, in the case of a just regular loan, he says, you owe me, I don't know. We don't say, okay, now you have to pay. We don't say that. So why do we say in the mashkon when he says, with well, the mashkon look like, I don't know? And if you said, no, okay, you don't know, he knows you have to pay. So which is stronger, Bari or Shema, a definite claim, or is it strong enough to override an indefinite claim? That's what it seems to be what's happening here. So the Gemara says you cannot compare the two cases. Taman yesh chilul shvua and hacha late chilul shvua. Meaning, I read the Bnei Moshe again. Taman kloma hacha b'mashkon, in our case of a mashkon, atamar ze in yodea chikening the yodea b'ntob shvua. Sorry, I skipped a bit. Sorry. Taman yesh chilul shvua. Gabe Mashkon hashvua chala alav. He already has a chiyuv to make a shvua. The vishu mechuyav b'shvua. Kimen she'en yochol lishva mishalem. In our case, since the malve who had the mashkon in his possession, he already is chayv to make some sort of shvua, either because he was in care of it, not some Rashi explained because it was already some sort of it was admission. It was a little bit more than the value. He just doesn't know how much more. And therefore, since it's already chiyuv shvua and he can't make a shvua, that's why we're saying the bari overrides it. But not because bari is stronger than a shema. A definite claim is stronger than a thing. It's just because you have this technicality that the malvah is on the back foot because he has to make a shvua and he can't make a shvua because he doesn't know. However, in general, hacha, gabi mana yesh li biadcha, that in case of a normal loan, lei chiluv shvua, there's no chiluv shvua. Kolama ein shvua chala, there's no shvua. If someone comes to a person and says, you owe me money, so I don't know. There's no evidence, there's no witnesses, no nothing. There's no shvua generated. He doesn't have to defend that. So therefore, that's why we say, in that, like, and let's back to like normal status, a definite claim versus like a I don't know claim doesn't necessarily override it. Well, doesn't override it. Okay, let's continue. With that, we say Hadronach perek shvuat adayin in parad, Hadronach perek shvuat adayin in, Hadronach perek shvuat adayin in. Now, the mission begins. Kol ha-nishpayim b'sheva Torah. Anytime you have a shvu in the Torah, Nishma'in v'lo mishalmin. Generally, it is to exempt someone from payment. We've seen this. That's like a mode of a mitzvah. In other words, I partially admit to the amount, but I'm making a shvua, I don't earn any more, and he doesn't have to pay anymore. However, we'll find in these cases, we have certain situations that Chachamim say, no, that we'll move the shvua across to somebody else. Now, according to the Rishalmi's reading, we've just seen one of those. That's a case where it's the case we just saw before, where it's the lover is in the case of modern mix-up regarding the mashkon, because the malveh might be hiding and it might present it out. We say, okay, now move the shvur to the malveh. Okay? But here we'll see there's more. So the Mishnah says, Elu nishmim Hasachir is a worker. Now, again, very often we find in Mishnayot, the first Mishnah of a perek is almost like a table of contents. Meaning it mentions many, many cases, and as the Mishnah go on, we elaborate on each one of the cases. So this is a bit like the table of contents, and we'll see bit by bit. The first one is talking about the sechir as a worker. Nigzal, who was stolen from, nechbal is someone who was injured, or kishnegdo chachu b'shvua, if the other party is suspected, meaning the person who's meant to make shvua can't make a shvua because he's suspected of lying. Then chenvana pinkaso. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on any of these because, as I explained to you, the mission is going to explain them. So let's begin with the first. Hasachir, ketzad. Amar, the worker says, ten li schari, give me my daily wage, give me my payment. Shesh li be'adcha. Hu omer, I gave it to you, natati. Bala omer, the worker says, lo natalti, I didn't take anything. Hareze, in that situation, we're going to have to understand why it is according to the Gemara, but in that situation, the worker can make a shvua that he hasn't received payment and he can take payment. When is this? Why is this? Leave it to the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Even that situation, there has to be some sort of modah b'miktzat situation. Ad shiul sham miktzat hodaya. Because again, it has to be some smach, something connected to, if you like, a shvua in the Torah. And that is Amar, which for example, Amal Tony Skari, give me my Skari 50, and the do and owner and dinarim sheshivad chavu who married Kabalti Mehem. You've already received 25, which is dinar zahav. You've accepted half of it. In other words, only if there's a mode of a mix-up, then we say that the worker can make a shvua to collect. Okay, you know, this has to still fit the mode of a mix-up model. Whereas again, Chachamim say no. A sechir, a worker who claims he hasn't been paid. And the worker says, "I have paid you." The worker can make a shvua to collect his payment. Okay,
This
again,
is different than a matzimah and
sorry.
mechabero.
Ah,
Why
yafe.
is
What
this
about
different?
matzimah and mechabero? Yafe. So there's all these kashas on this. Why is it that you can simply take it? Again, we'll discuss that when we get to the Gemara. Okay. And what if it was 3 years later? He says that you didn't pay me. Does it still can collect money? No. Again, we'll discuss this. The Gemara now says, "Kodesh min Shabbatora." So the We're going to, this piece here will explain like the Pnei Moshe initially, but it's very difficult to understand. And then you can see the Ritba's goes into a massive arichot to try and explain it. And then what I might do is I'll actually show you the way the Art Scroll explained it. They rearrange it in a different way. It's interesting. It makes it a smoother flow. But I'll explain like the Pnei Moshe because that's what we have in front of us. So, Kodesh Min Shabbatorah, Memash Mishneh Mar, Shem Tia B'nei Shnehem. So we're trying to prove why generally a shvua is minatoris is to exempt someone from payment. It says a shvua Hashem tiyeh ben shneihem. There's a shvua in this situation that is between the two of them. Okay, in case modeh b'mitzvah. No, shlosh, sorry, it's not modeh b'mitzvah. Okay, sorry. It's another case of a shvua, and this is a shvua pikadon. Okay, if I'm not mistaken. Now, shvua tiyeh ben shneihem. So any adim do not know already, meaning, in other words, isn't it implied? That if he doesn't make a shvua, he has to pay. Or some of the gerus that if he makes a shvua, he has to pay. Meaning it's implied the shvua should be him. So matam then why do we have a lakach ba'alav? Meaning the ba'alim would take the shvua, accept the shvua, and not pay. Mashma what? Mekeman ba'alim that want the ba'alim accept the shvua from another person. Then he's patur milashalem, the owners of the object that was entrusted with the other person. So you see here that he's accepting shvua from the person who was looking after it. Then he is exempt from paying. Okay, that is shvuat. That is so. That's the implication. But it seems to be according to Mei Moshe, this is all muvusas. It's all based on the mikla labata shemehen, that I can imply because I can imply one position from the other. The end of the pasuk is unnecessary. And because of that, that's why we can, midayek, that is teaching a kachbala that once the owner, meaning the person who's claiming the money, it receives a shvua, meaning accepts a shvua from the other party, then that party doesn't have to pay. That's shvua, and he doesn't have to pay. Okay? Fine. Now, Reb Chagai says, Baye kamei Reb Yossi, v'lama li k'Rabbi Meir. Why are you saying that's a rabbeinu? I feel the rabbana. Because this could be a milag rabbana. So let's just explain a little bit further. This is lo amar rab asi b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. We've already learned previously that who's the position that holds that from a negative you can imply a positive. I mean the whole which this is based on, this is a contrary mayor. But the way the Gemara is Reb Chagai is saying is why do you have to say that whole deal you're doing is based on that? Look at the end of the pasuk. It says v'lakach ba'alav ha'im. You don't need to have this whole deal called mikla lava tashumei hand, etc. You can just imply it from the words of the pasuk. It says v'lakach ba'alav. Once the claimant accepts a shvua, doesn't have to pay. Mashma, just from the last four words. It's not that it's mutar. The words themselves imply that once a shvua has been handed over, he's exempt. The other party, the defendant, is exempt from payment. That's kind of the flow. So it says, Tani, a bit more, Tani, Rav Chia, there can be, it can be stipulated such that a Shomachina Meshomasachar, meaning a free guardian and a paid guardian, which a free guardian he can be exempt from payment if he makes a Shvua under pretty much any, sorry, is exempt, I should say, from payment under any pretty much any circumstance, stolen, broken, etc. A shomer sachar has to pay if it's stolen or lost, but other situations, if animal dies, etc., he will be exempt from payment provided to make a shvuah. Again, that's what we're talking about, the shvuah here. However, a shoel is pretty much obligated to pay under all circumstances. So we're saying that one can stipulate with a shomer sachar or shomer chinam that he has to be like a shoel, meaning he cannot exempt himself from payment with making a shvuah. You have to pay no matter what happens. Okay? In other words, we can, even though technically he's a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, not someone who's shoel, not someone who's borrowing, we can put on him the level of obligation to look after his object to the level of a shoel. Okay? Now it says, Amar Chanina. Now, how do we learn this? We learn this according to Pnei Moshe from the Pasuk. So I'll just read the Pnei Moshe here. It says, Klomar, v'tukasha, al haydiyuka didaik mereisha dekra. You'll also be medaik from the reish of the Pasuk. Da'ikala meibed itzrich lahad da'amar abchia, yunirat le'el, v'perik ezuchun neshech, de'ma'nesher mechina. The whole stipulation we just said. V'hachi darish lad v'kra. This is what the Pasuk says. Shvuat Hashem tiyem ben shnehem. The shvuat is between them. Bizmanchi na'imo klum. Ela, no, that's when they didn't make any extra conditions. They gave him the shomer chinam or and level of obligation to look after or the requirements of shmirah is whatever the Torah says. Aval is it possible that you can maybe make it tonight v'lo and it's possible that you can make it stipulate in that way because he's midday from the pasuk, from the actual pasuk itself. And sorry, Hinnik says, so Amrav Chanina, Hakol Morim Lashon. So, but again, this is being midday through Miklal Lavat HaShemayim, meaning when there's a Shvuach Ben Shnehem, when in other words, the stam status, then that's with a Shvuach he exempts himself. But if they're stipulated otherwise, he'll have to pay no matter what. That's how we mean daik from the pasuk. But that's an implied position, not a mafurish position. That's effectively what the Gemara, the Pnei Moshe says. However, Amar Chanina, no, that also doesn't have to be like a shitat Rebbe Meir, because hakol modim b'lashon Torah mashma lavat hashemayahen ma'plingi b'lashon b'nei adam. Meaning you've got it all wrong. When it comes to Lashon HaTorah and Midaic laws, yes, you can imply from the positive, negative, the positive. The whole debate between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim was regarding Lashon Bnei Adam, meaning when people make a particular claim or people make a particular legal position, then can you imply one from the other? And that's what was said previously. So therefore, you don't have to say this in Rabbi Meir. You could say it for all like Chachamim. Now, I'm sure it felt a bit stilted the way the Gemara was flowing. So that's why I'll show you here the art scroll actually reorganizes the Gemara. And it begins as follows. He says, beginning again, this implication, and from the, if you like, from the Elamikem Chikibal Bashwa Patom Lashem again learns it from the Pasuk. So the Gemara will be exactly the same, meaning Mimashiv So therefore, why do you have that superfluous space to tell you the position that you always exempt yourself? But then, instead of Chagai Baye Kamei Rabbi Yossi, you rearrange the Gemara. It immediately begins with Matneh Shomer Chinam Shomer Sachal. And in other words, the first piece that we learned in the Gemara wasn't really based on Miklal Lavat HaShemayahen. The whole Miklal Lavat HaShemayahen was really a discussion specifically on Matneh Shomer Chinam VeShomer Chachal. So it begins with this whole thing of Matneh Shomer Chinam VeShomer. In other words, he can stipulate, and that's made from the diuk of the pasuk. Because then after it says Amrav Asi B'Shem Rav Yochanan, that's simply Reb Meir because of Miklal Lavat HaShemayahen. Because V'Lakach Balav V'Lo Yishalem Ha'im Lo Yishav Yishalem, meaning Ha Lo Yishav Yishalem is talking about if there was a stipulation that they can't make a shvuah, they'd have to pay. Meaning that a shomer chinam should be like a shomer sachar. And then it says, continue, v'lama li k'Rabbi Meir, why do you want to say it like Rabbi Meir? Afilu k'Rabbanan. It could even be like Rabbanan, because why? Lo amar Rabbi Chanina, doesn't the Torah, isn't, didn't Rabbi Chanina say that everyone agrees, b'lashon Torah, that you can be mashma lavat HaShemayahen, the only machok is by Bnei Adam. Okay? It's the same words and same concepts as we brought. But the Gemara is rearranged to really be focused. The whole love of Miklal Hashem is only really a discussion on the whether a Shomachin or Shomasachar, in that situation, you can stipulate otherwise. Okay, Beseder. So that was just that complex piece that I just wanted to show you. Let's continue. Amarav Avin. Now, what the Gemara is doing now is just trying to understand that the Mishnah, the case of this Sakir. Why is it? Like Menachem says, the Socher can say, why don't we? One the Balabite says, I paid you, you claim you haven't been paid. You know, it's burden of proof's on you. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. That the Socher can, although the Socher, the Sakir, I should say, the worker, all he has to do is make a Shvua and then he can collect his payment. Yes, we disputed. So the understanding is the balabait has a lot to organize in a particular day. He's paying all these workers. Think of it a bit sechisht. Could be all over the place. So the assumption is that when things are flying over the table, he might have thought he paid him, he didn't pay him, and who's going to have more, if you like, in the heat of the moment, particularly on that day, let's just be clear, on that day, who do we think is a bit in tune to what's happening? The person who has only one interest, which is the sakhir in the worker. I want my money. I know whether I've got it or not. You've got 15 other things on your head, paying this worker, this worker. So the Chachamim understood that, okay, therefore we'll move the shvua to the worker. And he can't just collect it without any, he can't just collect it for free. He makes a shvua and then he can collect the money. That's understanding. However, you have to be careful. However, there's a time limit. Meaning it's only on the day when it's meant to be paid. Why? Because if it's beyond the day of the next night, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, or there's an issur in the Torah, you have to pay the workers on that day. So if it's past or it's the next day, the worker comes the next day, so you didn't pay me, then there's a chazak, and the balabai says, I've definitely paid you. Then there's a chazaka, Chachamim understand that a chazaka is that the balabai would have paid on the day. He wouldn't be over on the Issa Doraisa of not paying his workers on the day. So that's why the Mishnah is understood, like the svara of the Mishnah is understood, that it's only in that here the moment when things are sort of on the table, you're trying to work it out. But the understanding is by he wouldn't, in that moment, we can say that might be a bit of like a, the schir might be in a more stronger position. So therefore, make a shvua and collect the money. However, after the assumption is by the end of the day, the balabai would have got everything altogether. And he would be, and there's a concern, there's Issur min haTorah, not to pay workers, in order to pay your workers on time. So if the worker comes back the next day or a few days later and says, you didn't pay me, and the balabai says, I definitely paid you, then Chachamim don't say, oh, skir make a shvua, you can take it. No, that doesn't work that way. Okay? Yeah, but that's what I'm going to do. But there's more to discuss. Well, the Gemara will continue discussing this. Because what happens if there are Edim that said he claimed it and didn't? Like, there's more mechanics that we need to discuss. But we'll leave that to next year. Right, Kol Tov, have a good day.